Boker Tov, and welcome back to our continuing series of the study of Daf Yomi. We are in our second shiur on Masechet Chagigah, picking up on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We're about to read a very famous story about a meeting between Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania in his hometown of Pekin with two of his students. This took place somewhere around the year 90 or so. Tanu Rabbanan, Maaseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka of Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma. So these two students came to greet their Rebbe in Pekin. Amar lahem, ma chidush hayah b'beit ha-midrash hayom. So what new teaching was there in the Beit Midrash? He's referring to Yavne. Amru lo tamidecha anu, umemecha anu shotim. They didn't want to tell him. We'll find out at the end of the sugya why. But they said, we are your students. We come to drink your waters to learn from you. Amar lahem, af ha-pichein yavshal b'beit ha-midrash b'lo chidush. He said, nonetheless, it's impossible for there to be a session of the Beit Midrash without some new teaching. Tell me what it is. So his first question is, Shabbat Shlomi Haita. Whose Shabbat was it? This refers to the well-known story in Masechet Brachot about the ouster of Rabban Gamliel when he was replaced by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and finally, when all the dust settled, the two of them shared the position as head of the Sanhedrin. And in order to make things not necessarily equitable, but livable, they had Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah teach one of the four Shabbatot a month, and Rabbi Gamliel the other three. So he asked, whose Shabbat was it? Shabbat Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah haita. Good. Ma'ita Haggadah Hayom, what was he teaching? Amru lo b'parshat Hakel. He was teaching about Hakel. That's the entry point for this being in our sugya. What did he explain about Hakel? So take a look on the page at the first pasuk. Hakel et ha'am anashim v'anashim v'hataf. So you're supposed to gather the men, the women, and the little children. Im anashim ba'im l'mod. I understand the men are coming to hear the Torah read and learn. Nashim ba'ot lishmo. The women who may not have as much access to learning are going to hear the Torah read, and that will increase their yirat shamayim. Taf lama ba'im. But why do little kids come? The answer was, k'dei l'tein sachar l'miviyehen, in order to bring reward to those who bring them. In other words, there is no inherent value to them coming except to give reward to those who bring them. Amar lahem margalit tovai tavi adchem v'kashtem me'abdam imani. So he castigated them. You had such a beautiful jewel, this beautiful piece of Torah, and you want to hide it from me? V'yod darash. So then they quote Rav Elazar ben Azariah further. Take a look at pasuk number two. It's two psukim in a row in Parshat Ki Tavo. Et Adonai hamarta hayom. Le'liot l'cha, le'lohim, etc. You have committed to God that you'll be that He will be your God. V'Adonai ha'mir chayom, and God has committed to you that you will be His treasured nation. So Malav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Nobody really knows what ha'marta means. The Farshim are all over the place on it. So one explanation is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem asituni chativa achat ba'olam, v'ani asetchem chativa achat ba'olam. I will declare you to be singular in the world as you have declared me to be singular in the world. You have made me one in the world by declaring me to be one. I will make you one singular entity in the world by declaring that there is none other like your nation Israel, who is one nation in the land. So evidently this refers back to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that there was another drasha, he said. He quoted the pasuk in Kohelet. It's pasuk number 5 on the page. You have to look at it very carefully. Divrei chachamim kadar vonot uchemas meirot nituot ba'alei asupot ninu meroe echad. This pasuk is very opaque. And the words of the wise are like cattle prods and like nails that are planted among people who gather together, all given from one shepherd. The metaphors are all over. So lamanim shali divrei Torah la darban. So the first thing is, why are divrei Torah compared to a darban, a cattle prod? Amar lacha mat darban zeh mechaven et ha-parah l'tlameha, l'tzi chayim la'olam. Just like a cattle prod directs the cow to its furrows in order to bring life into the world, let things grow. Af divrei Torah mechavenin et lomdein l'nachem ita l'darchei chayim. So divrei Torah direct its students away from the ways of death towards the ways of life. So, that's the case. So a cattle prod is easily moved. Maybe divrei Torah are easily moved. That's why the next word is nails. The nail is fixed. But a nail never grows. So maybe Torah never grows. That's why the next word is nituim, they're planted. Just like a sapling grows. So divrei Torah for multiply and bear fruit. So the next word is balea supot. What's this? Elu tamenecha chamim shoshvin asupot asupot. This refers to scholars who sit in their gatherings. Yoskin batorah halalu mitamin v'halalu mitaharin. Some declare something to be tamei and others tahor. Halalu asurin v'halalu matirin. Some declare something to be asur while others mutar. Halalu poslin v'halalu machshirin. Some declare something to be unfit while others declare fit. In other words, we have machloket. So a person will say, how am I supposed to learn Torah with all these opposing opinions? Therefore, the pasuk says they're all given from one shepherd, meaning elachad netanan. They were all given by one God. Parnas echad amaran, one leader, that's Moshe, said them. Pi adon kol asim baruch hu, and he said them in the name of God. All of these words were given by God. So what's your job? Afata asa aznecha ka'afar chesed. Make your ears like a hopper. In other words, make your ears wide enough, like a hopper with a narrow funnel at the end, so that you can hear all the different opinions and understand the depth of the each opinion and the reasoning. So now Rabbi Yeshua turned to them and said, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is around, that generation is not an orphan generation. He's a great leader. So why didn't they right away tell Rabbi Yeshua what had been taught in the Beit Midrash? Why did they hold back? Because of the story that happened. What was the story? Tanya Maseb Rabbi Yossi ben Dur Meskit. Think of the Tana. Shalach lach bopnei Rabbi Elazar ben Lud. He came to visit Rabbi Eliezer in the town of Lod. Marlo Machirushai Meta Midrash Hayom. So Belozer asked him the same question, what do they teach? Marlo Nimnuva Gamra Monomua Masuin Maser Aniba Shvi'it. They made a ruling, which is that in the areas of Ammon and Moab, which are neighboring areas to Israel, but are not within Israel proper, during the seventh year, the Shvi'it year, people who collect the food should give a tithing to the poor. So Marlo Yosip, Shot Yadecha V'Kabel Inecha. Belozer was upset. He told him to put his hands out against his eyes. Pashat yadav kibel inav, and evidently he went blind. Rabbi Elazar was very upset because he understood that this was an older ruling, and that whoever had been facilitating the ruling that day was sort of taking credit for it, as it were. So Bachar Rabbi Elazar Amar Sod Adonai Le'av V'Toli Hodiyam. He quoted the pasuk in Tehillim. It's pasuk number 7 on the page. God's secret is for those who revere him. Amar lo lechem or lahem. He said, go back, Rabbi Yossi, go back and tell them, al tachushu l'minyanchem, don't take any reckoning of your count. Kach mekublani marban Yochanan ben Zakkai. I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Sheshamar rabo v'rabo mirabo. So this goes back now before the turn of the millennium. Hilchot al Moshe Misinai. Amon Moav me'asrin maser ani b'shvit. Hilchot al Moshe Misinai here should be taken a little bit loosely, is to mean an ancient tradition, as you'll see in a minute, that in Ammon and Moab, we separate Maaser Ani. In other words, the same ruling, but it has much, much older roots, and your vote on it is meaningless. Ma'atam, what's the reason? Habei krachim kavshu ole mitzrayim velo kvashum ole bavel. There are a lot of cities that were conquered by the people who came up from Mitzrayim and were not conquered by ole bavel. That were not conquered by the ones who came up from Bavel. In other words, the group of Am Yisrael that entered Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua conquered a much wider territory than that was settled by the people who came up in the time of Zerubbabel and later in the waves with Ezra, etc. And those cities were left unsanctified because of the ruling. That's a machlok and a sugi in Megillah. We studied Neshi Kedusha Rishana Kichala Shata V'lo Kichala Tidavo. Because after all, the first Kedusha, the Kedusha of Yoshua, was temporary, and once the land was conquered from under us, the sanctity was taken away, or was lost, shall we say, And therefore, they left a bunch of cities that they had unsanctified. And so, in other words, this goes back to the times of Ezra, where they left certain cities in certain areas, including the area of the East Bank, Ammon and Moab, unsanctified, in order that the poor people would know that in Shemitah year over there, there would be a tithe. The reason was because they always practiced the tithing in the areas around Israel. So if they would practice Shemitah also fully, then there would be no tithing. But what they did is they instituted the notion that they would continue the tithing, but not the Shemitah, and then therefore there'd be Maser Ani on Shemitah. Good. Tana Lacharshin Yeshva Da'ato. So after Rav Elazar felt better, he prayed that Yossi's vision should come back, and it came back. But nonetheless, we see how dangerous it was to present the ruling from the Beit Midrash, so therefore the students were careful to say this, to share this with Rav Yeshua until he kind of pushed them, and then it all came out very well. Back to our original sugya. We're defining what a shote is. Tana Rabbanan. Ezu shoteh. So the Mishnah said a shoteh is patur. This is now a shas sugya. This has nothing to do with chagiga per se, as much as what the definition of a shoteh is for kol haTorah kula. Hayotzei yechidi balayla. Number one, it's somebody who walks around alone at night. Balan uveid hakvarot, somebody who sleeps in a cemetery. Vamakarei ksuto, somebody who tears his clothes. Now, itmar Rav Huna amar anshu kulan vatachad. Rav Huna says it has to be somebody who engages in all of these practices at the same time. It doesn't have to be simultaneously, but at the same time. It doesn't mean like for a few years he had this habit to walk around at night, and then for a while he was tearing his clothes. It has to be somebody who's engaged in these things at the same time. Rabbi Yochanan says any of them are simanei shote. Now, hechidami, let's take a look at Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. If you're doing it in a way that's clearly you're off your rocker, even any one of them indicates you're a shote. But if you're doing it in a way that seems reasonable, you're taking a walk at night because you have to rush to get somewhere, and you sleep in the Beit HaKvarot because your house burned down, you have nowhere to stay, and you tore your clothes because you're an avel or something like that, then none of them, all of them put together, still don't make you a shote. The answer is the olam deka avilu derech shtut. We're talking about a case where you did it in a way that indicates some craziness. Nonetheless, you can be crazy in a sense of having a warped sense of desires and values and still be acting rationally within that context. So a person says, I want to be possessed by a demon, so they'll go sleep in a cemetery. On the one hand, they got a desire that's wacky. On the other hand, within that desire, they're acting rationally. And he had some sort of condition that's grabbed him. That's why he went outside at night. Or perhaps he's had a terrible fever and he has to take a walk. Perhaps he's gotten a terrible fever. From Koreak Sutoi or Balmachshavotu. Maybe he's some sort of what we call Luftman, somebody who's not paying much attention to what he's doing, and he tears his clothes sort of as a nervous habit. So now, Kevin Davdina Lukulu, Havaluhu, Kamisha Nagar Shor Hamova Gamavana Samua Bakol. So indeed, if he does any one of these individually, even though he looks mad, nonetheless there's a reasonable explanation for why he's doing it within his madness or within his situation. But once he does all three of them, then he's like similar to an ox that one day gores a camel, the next day gores a donkey, and then gores another animal. At that point, he becomes muad lakol. We don't say that you have to gore three camels to be muad for camels. This is halach, of course, in the Zikin. Rather, once he's gored three different animals, we now say he's muad for all animals. Good. Now, I'm Rav Papa. Yishmiel le Rav Huna ha-detanya, ezu shotez ha-mapeid kol mashen onim lo. If Rav Huna had heard that which we, the famous Brayta that said, what's a shotez? A shotez is somebody who loses everything that he's given. So, Have Hadarbe, he would have changed his mind. Remember, Rav Huna said you need all three. But here we have a Brayta that says just one thing. If you lose everything they give you, if it's given to you, you're a Shote. Now, the question is, Ibayalu, Ki Have Hadarbe, according to this, would Rav Huna have changed his mind? Mimakarek Sutoda Have Hadarbe, he would have changed his mind about tearing your garments and saying that one alone, because after all, The Dam Yalaha, it's very much similar to somebody who loses everything that's given to him, or somebody who is not at all careful with his property. Or perhaps Rav Papa meant to say that Rav Huna would have changed his mind about all of these things and said that any single thing, because here's an example, the one thing makes your shota, so any one thing that's crazy makes your shota, the answer is take. Okay, now the Mishnah continued on with Tumtum Vandroginos. So we're going to take a look at the exclusion of all those who are not fully male. Tanu Rabbanan, Zahur, it says you're males. So the word male, Lotzia Tanashim, that excludes women. Of course, why do we need that to exclude women? After all, it's a mitzvah, says here's some anagrama, we'll take a look. Zichurcha, Lotzia Tumtum Vandroginos, your males, meaning somebody who's 100% male, and not a tumtum or a hermaphrodite. Kol zechorcha l'rabot etaktanim. Kol so kol is there to include. Is it not only your males, but even your minor males? Good. Now let's take a look at this. Amar mar zachor lotziat hanashim. Halama likra. What do I need a pasuk for? Michta mitzvah says man grama. After all, re'iyah is a mitzvah says man grama. Chol mitzvot aseish says man grama hanashim p'turot. Women are p'tur automatically from all of those. So the answer is itztarich. I need that. Why? I would have said, Nelaf Ria Ria Mihakel. We've already seen in yesterday's podcast, in the last podcast, we saw that Hakel is associated with Ria via the word Ro'eh. And we know that Malal Anashim Chayavot, we know women are obligated in Hakel, because it says Hanashim V'Hanashim. Hakel was one of the great exceptions to the rule of Mitzvat Aseh Shazman Grab. Avka Anashim Chayavot, I would have thought women are Chayav. Kamash Malan, therefore it says Zachor, only your males come. Amarmar Zachor Chalotzi Tumtum Vandroginos. So Bishlam Androgynos, I understand why you have to tell me that Androgynos is exam. It started. Sakatai the Chamein, Ahoyel the Eat Late Sad Zachrut, I would think because he's partially male, Lichayev, you should be Chayev, Kamash Malan, Riyav Fneatzmo. And this is a machloket that the Chachamim debated, the issue that Chachamim debated quite a bit, is how to deal with an Androgynos. Is an Androgynos a partial male, partial female, or some unique breed? So the answer that they're giving here is, that at least according to this position, it's a unique breed, not at all male. And this seems to go against the general thread of the Braita at the end of Bikurim that gives an androgynous all the chumrot of male and a female and anything shared by them. Right. El atumtum sfeikahu, but a tumtum is inherently a suffix. We just don't know what it is. There's a human being with no genitalia. We don't know what it is. We don't need a pasuk to eliminate a safek. The Torah, after all, only addresses cases of certainty. Where he does have some sort of genitalia. So Amar Mar Kol Zechorcha L'Rabot Etaktanim. Now we just said at the end of the Braita that all of your males is there to extend it even to children. Our Mishnah said that a katan is not chayav. Depends if we're talking about a child who's reached an educable age, then he's chayav, and that's kol zechorcha. If not, then he's patur. That's what the Mishnah says, patur. So now, katan shegiya lechinuch to rabbanani, but educating a child, the mitzvah to educate the child is doraita, but the child's obligation in anything is the rabbanan. So Einachinami, you're right. Ukras machta bialma, really, kol zechorcha is not there to tell you that includes children. That's an asmachta. El akrala mayata. So what is the pasuk kol zechorcha there to extend? Lichar acherim, not acherim omrim, hamakameitz v'amitzaref nechoshet v'abursi. So it's coming from this drasha. The Mishnah says that someone who collects smelts, or collects fecal matter for the tannery, and somebody who works in a copper smith, and a tanner himself, turin min ariyah, they're exempt. Why? Mishnemar kol zechuchah. It says all of your males should come up. Misha chol alotim kol zechuchah. The only people who are chayav are people who can come up with the whole group. Yatsuelo shen roim alotim kol zechuchah. So these guys are exempt because they're not able to come up with the whole group because they smell so bad. So that in other words, there is no such notion as coming up in separatist groups, even though in reality people come up in separate groups from different towns on different days. You have to be someone who could come up with everybody. Good. Nashim v'avadim sheinam mishuchrarim. So it says that women and slaves that are not freed. Vishtam Anashim Kinamran. We understand women because Zuchurchan. Alavadim and Alan, how do we know that slaves are exempt? Maravuna Amarkra, El Pnei Adon, Adonai. Pasuk says, as we see, it's on the first Pasuk on the page, that, it's on the eighth Pasuk on the page, all of your males shall be seen to before the Master Hashem. Right? And what's the drasha? Yatzaz, Misha ain't no El Adon Achad. It's only someone who has one master. Tzazeh, Sheishto Adon Acher. That excludes this one, this Eved, who has another master. So halam alikra, what do I need that pasuk for? Mechti kol mitzvah shal shachayvet pa'ayvet chayav ba. And kol mitzvah shal shachayvet pa'ayvet chayav ba. This is sugya in Kiddushin, it's also sugya in Gittin, that women, slaves are chayav in all the same mitzvot that women are chayav in, that we learn that from la, la, and atan la, ochub shalom nitan la, etc. So, the gamar la la misha, Ravina says it's there to tell you about a half Eved, half Ben-Horin. We saw this in the previous podcast. That's why the text says, Avadim she'ina meshuchorim, slaves that are not freed. The minute you say a slave, you know it's not freed. Why do you say that? You mean they're not free at all? Just say Avadim. I mean they're not fully free. So we actually have a diuk that supports Ravina's read that says that a half Eved, half Ben Chorin is not chayav because the Mishnah said avadim she'ina mishuchurim, and the notion is that these are avadim who are not fully freed but are partially freed. And my havamina would be that the Eved should be chayav and re'iyah because of the half of him which is free. So there is no. The rest of the Mishnah listed somebody who's lame and blind and old, sick and old. Tanu Rabbanan, we have an expansion on this. Pasuk says rigalim, shalosh rigalim, prat levalei kabin. This excludes somebody who comes on a prosthetic leg like a peg leg. Davar acher, rigalim prat lechiger ulecholei ulesuma zaken shenei achol alot praglav. Anybody who cannot come up on his own, lame, sick, blind, old, or somebody who cannot come up. What's that last line there? Who's that including? That's there to include very dainty people. The notion is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is from that very upsetting nevuah at the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regards coming in to the Mikdash with shoes on to be like a trampling, something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with. And the notion is, of course, these are people who cannot come up without their shoes, and therefore they're very dainty, and therefore they are exempt. Good. Tana, we have a braita that adds two more. Arel v'hatamei p'torim min ha-re'iyah. Now, an arel, somebody who's uncircumcised, and a tamei, are exempt from re'iyah, meaning they're exempt also from sending the korban with somebody else. Take a look at the two psukim that are joined together in pasuk number 10. You shall come there and bring there. What's the notion of those two psukim together? Only people who can come into the azara bring korbanot. Anybody who cannot does not. So therefore, you can't be chayav in a korban if you are tamei, because a tamei person cannot come into the azara. Ella Arel Minalan, how do we know that an uncircumcised person is also exempt? Tanya Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ish Ish, take a look at the last pasuk on the page. Ish Ish, Ish Ish, Mizar Aaron, Putzaru Ozav, anybody from Aaron who is Tamei, a list of a bunch of molten, and he does the Abodai, it's Chayechiv Karet. Why does it say Ish Ish to Rabota Te Arel? Good, so that extends it to the Arel, it's Rabbi Kiva's Drasha. Tan Rabbanan, Tamei Patur Min Ha-Re'iyah. Tivat Hashem Etem Shama. Kol She'ishto Mavi'a Yishto Ma'ava. Kol She'ino Mavi'a Yishto Ma'ava. Good. So we have a braita that says exactly what we just proved, that a Tamei is exempt because of Uvat Hashem Avetem Shama. V'yochem in Dehavai Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Suma Bachat Minah Patur Min Ha-Re'iyah. This we already saw in the previous podcast. That somebody who's blind in one eye is exempt. Shinamar Yeh Ra'eh. 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 Yeh Ra'eh Ma baliraot v'shteinav, afal leiraot v'shteinav. Just like he comes to be seen, as it were, by God's two eyes. Again, that's a very difficult drasha. It was just as difficult as it was in the previous podcast on the previous Amud, on the previous daf. Similarly, he comes to be seen with his two eyes, and of course that means he's exempt if he only has one eye. Tov, this concludes this morning's shiur. Mir Tashem, we will pick up, and we'll try to get another shiur in before the seventh day of Yom Tov. And Naftal Amud Bet, everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos and a great Yom Tov.